Off the meter, off the meter.
With Jimmy Failon.
I'm telling you, man, this stuff will poison your mind.
Broadcasting live within walking distance of some very famous buildings, it's God's regift to radio, New York City cab driver, Jimmy Failon.
Here we go. Coming to you live from New York City. It's the Off the Meter radio program with Jimmy Failon. Good afternoon, everybody. I am Jimmy Failon, welcoming you to this hour of reality radio. That's what we call it. Why do we call it reality radio, Dean Imperial?
Why?
Because, like, we kind of tell the truth on this show.
Kind of.
If for no other reason, then, we don't have a big enough listenership to encourage someone to buy our viewpoint.
Right.
You dig? We don't have enough people listening that someone has bought our political affiliation.
Right.
When that check comes under the door, we're gone immediately.
14 people aren't a lot of people.
That's actually, we have a pretty sizable audience, but the point is it needs to grow if we're going to have someone to sell out to.
True.
But coming up in this hour of reality radio, not only will Dean and I attempt to grow our audience, but Chloe Hilliard will stop by.
All right.
Chloe Hilliard, one of my favorite comics ever. Not just in this city. I'm a huge Chloe Hilliard fan. I love having her on the show, and she's going to be here because this just so happens to be the last show before I go away. I'm going to go away with my wife's family. Who knows if I'm ever going to come back?
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of like that greatest hits thing. You know when they say when you die, your life flashes before your eyes?
Yeah.
Well, my radio life is flashing before my eyes right now, and it's been pretty uneventful, so we're going to try to spice it up today, shall we?
Cool.
530-638-3704 is the phone number if you'd like to be a part of the program. You can also hit us up via Twitter, at Jimmy Failon. Busy day on the show. Amanda Bynes, her parents, asking for more psychiatric help. They're trying to extend her stay. President Clinton heading back to the White House. We will tell you why in a little shortly. And a Manhattan Supreme Court justice tossed out a lawsuit brought on by the seething parents of a Tribeca peeping Tom. He had taken photos of their children through their window.
Oh.
In various stages of undress. Well, anyway, the Supreme Court justice threw it out.
Oh, wow.
This guy gets out of jail and goes right down to B&H and buys a new camera. We're going to get into that in a little while. But joining me now, first and foremost, Dean Imperial, Chloe Hilliard. Good to see everybody.
Hey.
Hi, Chloe Hilliard.
Hi, Jimmy.
Did you have a good week? Everything's good?
Everything is wonderful.
I got to tell you, you sound enthusiastic.
Shut the hell up, will you?
Chloe Hilliard, Dean Imperial, you don't know this about Chloe Hilliard.
I don't.
Oh, my gosh.
But on August the 23rd, Chloe Hilliard, and I don't mean to show off, but on August the 23rd, Chloe Hilliard's going to be doing stand-up comedy with myself in the comedy hotbed of Mansfield, Pennsylvania.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's a big day.
Wow. That's really exciting, man.
And Chloe Hilliard.
It is big. I can't wait. I told my entire family about it.
A lot of people get into show business.
Yes.
Looking to play Vegas or, you know, Hollywood or... But if you're a real artist, you want to play Mansfield, PA at noon on a Thursday.
Don't even call it Mansfield, PA. Just call it Mansfield. It's like it's like Woodstock. You know what I mean?
We are huge in Mansfield. Can we get that out of the way? Huge in Mansfield.
Remember when Failon Hilliard played Mansfield? That was a hell of a concert, man.
That's funny. Someday they'll say, I knew him before Mansfield.
Yeah. I was at Mansfield. I was there.
Chloe, have you done a lot of colleges or no?
No, this will be my first time, so you're helping me pop my college cherry.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, man. It's an honor. I'm excited. I have no concerns over your onstage ability.
Thank you.
But we are going to be in a car together for like 6 hours. That's
yes,
a concern.
That's intense.
Do you like a road trip? Because I love a road trip.
No, I'm good on road trips.
Okay.
I just have to pack my snacks.
Okay.
And we need good music.
We need good music.
Yes.
What's good music?
Stuff that doesn't make me fall asleep. Like, I can listen to anything.
Okay.
My dad's from Indiana. He listens to, like, Jimi Hendrix, so I'm very cultured.
Okay.
When it comes to my musical palate.
Okay. Jimi Hendrix is a cultured palate.
It is a cult for a black girl in Brooklyn. Hell yeah. It's
why?
A
he's black.
Palate.
That's not
no,
that cultured.
No, but it's not. But it's not.
But it's not just straight hip-hop?
It's not straight. No, I'm not a straight hip-hop
I mean,
because
I listen. I'm a devout fan of Jimi Hendrix. I drove a woman in my cab who dated him, slept with him.
Really?
She's in my book. We talk about it in my book. I love Jimi Hendrix. I can talk all day. And yeah. I do, you know, sometimes people, Dean, you know this, people be like, I listen to everything from Van Halen to Aerosmith.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that's nothing.
Yeah.
I listen to everything from Creed to Nickelback.
They're the same band.
I don't even think they change the people. They just put on different wigs.
Right.
No, I like a good array of music.
All right. I listen to big bands. I mean, I listen to Jimi Hendrix, but I listen to hip hop. Mm-hmm. I mean, I listen. When I'm really truly a guy who listens to everything.
Yeah.
One of the few good contributions my dad made to my life is that he did have a diversified music portfolio. Mm-hmm. You know, and I appreciated that. I grew up in a Beatles house, but learned to like everything, if only because the Beatles had such an evolution in style. They went from like a boy band to like a drug-addled, you know, helter-skelter, free-for-all rock band.
Yeah.
And if I learned anything from that, it's that, there were different types of music that appealed to me. And the next thing you know, I was listening to Jimi Hendrix and Ice-T.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix become Ice-T. Ice-T becomes a black stripper at Bear Elegance. Things just happen. They snowball. So you think, based on music and snacks, are going to be the determining factors in this
Absolutely.
Trip.
Absolutely.
Are you a talkative person on a road trip?
No.
Oh, that's going to be a problem. I mean, I don't need you to talk to me like crazy because I'll sing.
I have.
Jim's not talkative, though.
No, he's very. See, I'm not a very talkative person, which is weird. I'm actually an introvert. People don't believe that.
That's good for comedy.
It's amazing because you got to leave it all on stage. That's people expect you to be on all the
time.
So
you have a Sasha Fierce.
I guess.
You become your own, like Beyonce has Sasha Fierce when she's got to get down and dirty. You have a black swan, if you will.
I do, I guess. And then when I get off stage, it's kind of like back to normal. Okay. But I'm not super chatty. I have moments. Like once my eyeballs get dry, I can't talk anymore.
All right, well, let's get this out of the way. And I'm sure you can agree, Dean.
Mm-hmm.
You'd rather have somebody who says nothing than somebody who's just a talkative, uninteresting person.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. I'd rather have somebody who's quiet.
Yeah. Because you could sing. You can kill time singing and jamming.
Because you can pull interesting conversation out of an introvert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can.
Because they're thinking.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They're always thinking. Mind. You know, there's a lot on their minds. It's intense.
Usually when comics go on the road, comics that don't go on the road a lot, that don't leave a lot, the road has a way of breaking a person down.
Yeah.
And it's like you get in kind of upbeat, chatting about things, and then by the Delaware Water Gap, you're just talking about some traumatic childhood experience of crying.
I can't. I travel. That's not the problem. It's just that I value a good conversation. I don't like small talk.
All right.
And I don't like people to tell you about like mundane things in their lives, about like the job they had and their coworkers and their dog. Like I don't. Yeah. I want to talk about like meat and potatoes.
You're subliminally.
Oh, so you like to go under the surface.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
How did that make you feel, Jimmy?
Yeah.
I had pizza for dinner last night. Why? Why do you think you had pizza? Why do you like Italian sauce?
Well,
like,
you know, I used to be a journalist, so I know how to get good answers.
Ooh.
So be prepared.
I disagree.
Jim's the one who's going to be sobbing by the time. By the time you're an hour away, Jim's going to be sobbing in the car.
I'm a very good conversationalist.
Welcome to the Delaware Water Gap. I miss my family the way it used to be. Chloe, can you drive for a little bit?
Yep, that's exactly how it's going to be. And I'm going to write a book about you.
No,
you don't.
You have no idea what a road trip prodigy I am. My wife's family lives 700 miles away. I do this several times a year, in addition to like road comedy and stuff like that. I like the road. Dean and I have taken some legendary road trips.
Yeah.
Virginia.
Are we
going to
gamble?
Like
are we going to go somewhere and gamble?
You want to do something like that?
I would love to because I heard that you're good at it.
I'm all right at it.
No, I heard you were really good.
Well, listen.
Like Rain Man good.
Well, back in the day I was, but I want you to know this. A lot of the people who are always talking about how like legendary of a gambler I am were just also there on the best nights.
See, I was not there on the best nights.
Dean has injected an IV into my hand and carried me out of Caesar's Palace at 7 in the morning on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
He's been there to see the champ have an off night.
Yeah. And I've seen a lot.
I have a brilliant gambling mind because I grew up around it. Mm-hmm. I am good. But gambling still comes down to a few things, one of which is the willingness to walk away.
Mm.
So the psychology of gambling is that people don't go there to win. They go there for action.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to a casino, you might be up $4,000 in the first 5 minutes. You don't want to leave because you go, we just got here. We were just in the car for 3 hours. What are we going to do, get back in the car? That sounds insane.
Yeah.
Right.
Next thing you know, you've given away $4,000 on the premise that you just got there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good when I can remove emotion from the situation, which is everybody doing anything in life. When you remove emotion, you're clear-headed, you can do things. But I have in my old age, because I don't gamble as much anymore.
Your old age?
Well, I'm 36, but I mean, I'm an old for a gambler. I've been gambling like 20 years.
Oh.
I mean, I was going to like speakeasies when I was 16.
Wow.
You know, but in my old age, now that I don't gamble as much and I don't have that type of money, it might be emotional for me. I don't know. I can't tell you that.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I think I'm a cold-blooded assassin. But I don't want to get – I'm basically just issuing a disclaimer in case we walk out there down $8,500.
Okay.
And we've got to work off the debt.
I'm terrible. I went to Atlantic City like maybe 2 months ago, and I tried to throw the dice at craps, and I hit the attendant. Like I hit the guy.
You threw him at him?
I threw him. Hit the man.
Oh, that's great.
And he was so excited. It was like everybody's highlight of the day. He's like, she's never thrown craps before. I hit a man sitting on steps. It was terrible. Terrible.
You threw them on the other table across the room. They're like, why are there four here?
I want to go gambling. Let's have fun. When else are we going to be in Mansfield?
Well, Mansfield is not exactly a hotbed for gambling.
We should turn it up. We should tell everybody we're an interracial couple and get the news to come out to the show.
Oh, this is an angle.
Oh, man.
This is an angle. She's trying to get me to hit it.
Yeah.
And you know I can tell.
No.
It's going to be a long drive.
I get it. I get it. I get the front because you know what she's saying? It's like, yeah, we should just tell them we're an interracial couple because then at some point we have to play the part.
Yeah, yeah. And you have to get start thinking about it. Like, what if we were?
You got
to
hold my hand.
Maybe we are.
Jimmy, you got to hold my hand. This doesn't look good.
No, I'm just saying. I like to disrupt people's normality. I like to shake things up. You never seen Tu Wong Fu Love Julie Newmar?
Yeah, why? What does that have to do?
We can go into Mansfield and turn it up.
That's a proposition if ever I've heard one. You know what I'm saying?
I am Herman Cain, and I'm running for president of the United States of America.
I don't know what's going on, but we got to get a break. I don't know if I'm getting hit on. I don't know if I'm getting invited to a caper, but I'm going to break. We got to take a time out and think this one over.
Uh-huh.
When we come back on the show, just fascinating things going on in the news. Peeping Toms being told it's okay.
Yep.
Amanda Bynes being told it's not okay.
Yep.
And a fascinating story about Bill Clinton making a possible return to the White House. We'll tell you how and why when we come back.
Off the meter, off the meter.
With Jimmy Fallon.
He's homophobic.
If you're an entrepreneur looking to start your own business or expand an existing business, but you don't know which local politicians and union bosses you need to bribe, then it's about time you call the good folks at Bureaucracy Bypass and race to the front of the line. Bureaucracy Bypass has helped thousands of would-be business owners, just like yourself, determine exactly who to take to the Palm Steakhouse and supply with hookers in order to get land rezoned, taxes abated, and operating licenses swiftly granted. Don't waste another minute buying plane tickets for some bozo who claims to be tight with your county executive. Get Bureaucracy Bypass and bypass the bureaucracy.
Off the meter, off the meter.
With Jimmy Fallon.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Comedy Live from New York City. It's the Off the Meter radio program. Jimmy Fallon, Dean Imperial, joined in studio for an hour of reality radio with the great Chloe Hilliard. Does it get any better than this, Dean?
No way. No way. She's cool. She's definitely cool.
According to my wife, it does.
Oh, yeah?
She's like, yo, we should make out, baby. Like, well, wow, that was a strong move to the hoop. I had to take a T.O.
I know. It was getting really hot.
I had to do, like, some religious chanting. I had to recite my wedding vows again. That was a strong move to the hoop, Hilliard. All right, fine. I got dreamy eyes. I mean, but still, we got to get over this. If we're going to make it through a ride to Pennsylvania and back.
We'll make it through. We'll work through the issues.
Work with me, girl. No, it's funny stuff. I just like giving you I like giving you a hard time. I like making it awkward for you because you have a habit of making it awkward for my boy, Ken Wood.
Oh, I do.
Yes, you do. So
I love making Ken Wood uncomfortable.
If anything, that was retaliation because she'll talk to Ken about like sexting him and really, really put him on the spot.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and you can't talk to Ken Wood about sexting and just expect expected to go away. That's like putting up a basketball hoop in front of Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
But now nothing's going to happen. We're not going to shoot at this hoop. Nobody's going to hang. There's not going to be a game of horse. There's going to be nothing. We're just going to talk about it and leave it behind. You can't do it.
Okay.
So you don't friend Anthony Weiner on Twitter.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? Unless you expect a certain type of behavior. And by that, I mean model upstanding behavior. Because we'd never badmouth him on the show. Why?
Ever.
Why
because
not?
Because we're friends with him. We emailed him, and he might be coming on the show.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
We don't know that he's definitely coming on, but we promised
you're
him.
You're a fan, right?
No, I'm not a
Come
fan.
Come on, Chloe.
I will say this. Listen, I just had this happen to me the other day. I was out at a venue, right? And I'm talking to a gentleman, and we were talking about how we've been working out and, you know, taking care of our bodies, right? So we started showing each other pictures of, like, our workout regimen and stuff like that.
Ooh.
And so he shows me his phone. And he's like, yeah, I used to have a gut, and now I have a six-pack. I was like, oh, okay. So he shows me the side-by-side gut with him and his six-pack.
Oops.
And then he keeps sliding his finger. And how about this?
And how about this?
And he shows me full frontal.
How about how you feel about this?
Yeah. And I just said,
I've been working this out.
Now, do you know this?
It can do curls.
There's no such thing as an accidental showing of a full frontal.
No, he did it on purpose.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But it caught me so off guard. The only thing I could say was like, oh, okay. And then let's hand him back his phone. Because we were out in a restaurant. We actually had a comedy club.
Do you want to know something?
There were people around me. And I was just like, it's way too much.
That's part of the problem with porn. Because a guy, that's a closer. A guy does that move because in porn you can do that and be like, what do you think? And then you just start in.
Yeah.
Because people watch enough. People think that teachers bang kids in classrooms during school hours.
Mm-hmm.
That job interviews end in sex in a crowded office.
It's simplified. They're written at the same level that, like, children's television is written for children.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's the same fantasy kind of scenario.
Yeah.
You know? It's like they show a picture.
It's like Blue's Clues.
And that's, that's funny. So the guy's showing you that.
Yes.
Like, you're supposed to say, like, I like it, call me?
Like, take
me out. No, that's
a
spontaneous move.
It was so weird. It was so weird. I didn't even know. I wasn't offended because I'm a G, but, like, I was like, this is really inappropriate. Like, if I was a weaker-minded woman, I'd be like, oh, my God, I feel harassed.
Let's cut to the chase. How did it look?
It was big.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I wish I were there. It kills me not to be there.
So did you get his number? What?
No, I mean, we're cool. I think he did it because it was a confidence thing. Like, yeah, you want to see what I'm working with.
I would love to see the photo because you know what I have learned in a minimal experience with digital photography? And, like, you know how you showed me how to crop that picture yesterday of Jaleesha and her mom?
Uh-huh.
You can crop in a way that makes the guy look like he has elephantitis.
Yeah.
If you just crop the
trick photography.
Yeah, if you crop the penile area, if you will, you can make it dwarf everything around it.
No, but it was him in a full mirror shot in, like, a gym locker room.
Oh.
So it was, like, to scale.
So this guy's the real deal.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's amazing. All right.
It was interesting. It was funny.
It was interesting. It was funny. Now, then be honest with us, Chloe Hilliard.
What?
Did you leave a snail trail out
of
that club?
No, definitely not.
That doesn't work.
No.
That's not enough.
No.
You want to get down with Chloe Hilliard. You need a level of intellect.
Yeah.
You got to bring snacks and listen to diversified music.
What if he had done it like he was showing you and he went like, oops, oh, God, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
No, it didn't matter. It just the fact that he showed it to me. Period. I don't know what he expected to get out of it, but now I look at him and be like, oh, I see you must really be feeling very confident about yourself. But I didn't take it as like a come on.
But you would have no interest in this person.
No, definitely have no interest. No, not at all. I'm a woman of a certain age. I can see a penis and not want to jump on it.
Okay. A woman of a certain age.
But you're saying there's a time when you couldn't?
There was a time when I couldn't.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's great.
Audience getting riled up. You went through a phase.
Yeah, I call it the hoe phase, 22 to 27.
What's your hoe phase?
22 to 27, absolutely.
Would you give me a realistic number of what you put up in your hoe phase, or do you not know? I mean, I don't care.
No, I can't. I don't remember.
But it was a big number.
It was a good amount.
It was double digits.
Every woman goes through the same phase. It might not be the same years, but mine was 23 to 27 because it's like right after you graduate college, you're feeling confident, you're making money, you have your own place, you're looking good, and then men are attracted to you, you can bring them to your place, you don't have a roommate.
Wow.
You know, you just get get it in, 23 to 27.
Can I tell you something?
He's looking at me. You're looking at me like, yeah, I met some girls.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking about, I'm going, I'm like, uh-huh, that's just it. About right.
No, it does sound right. It's weird because, like, my wife is 32, but she's going through a hoe phase now. Oh. But if you say it's just the phase, we'll just let it go.
It's a five-year period where you have to discover and figure out things about yourself.
Uh-huh.
And it makes you a better woman. Every woman should go through it because you don't want to get married or in a relationship and then want to start experimenting.
But is there an age where a woman just gets tired of all that kind of macho nonsense? There's an age where it's just like, all right, I've seen all that.
Yeah,
I don't want
you're
it.
Like, okay, I think I might want to get married now. I've done it.
Uh-huh.
Because then you get low on your percentage, because I feel like as a woman you have a battery percentage rate and you get low and you can't recharge it because you're too old. So I'm at 47%.
All right.
You don't have a lot of battery bars on your phone?
I don't have battery. That's it.
Okay.
So right, I need to get married before I get down the red zone.
Do you as a woman be like, I need to have some kids already? Or do you have that clock ticking or no?
I was going to have kids and then I became a comedian. Mm-hmm. And so now I have to do this and see it to fruition before I get kids.
I see.
So I had to reset myself.
How many more years of this do you feel?
I think I'll probably have kids in maybe like 5 or 6 years.
That's cool.
Sweet.
That's cool.
5 or 6. Lincoln will be 10 by then.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine?
He'll have no, leave me out of this. Do you see what she did right there?
Yeah.
I was just talking about like a playmate or a babysitter for you, and she took it right back. Dude.
Yeah, I know.
I got to tell you, I might have to bring a chaperone on this road trip.
Uh-huh.
This is serious, man. I say nice things to you on the show. I had no idea. Like, you know what it is, Dean? When you got a real pimp game, it never goes away. Even when you don't think you're pimping, you're still pimping.
Oh yeah, you can't help it.
Because you're talking about the numbers you put up between 22 and 27. I guarantee you I topped them, and I lived with my mom.
Of course you did, because you're a guy.
No. But remember this. I lived with my mom.
Doesn't matter.
I'm fatter than I am now.
Doesn't matter. Women see potential. That's how women operate. Women see you for what they think they can make you into.
Wow.
Men see you for the right now.
That is true. That's men true. Want immediacy. Hence the guy showing you the photo on the spot.
Because he wanted something to happen.
Wow. Like immediately.
Like in the bathroom.
Wow.
Oh.
But oh. If he caught me at 24, it might have went down. No, I don't think so.
Damn. I got to tell you, man, your candor is very refreshing.
Really?
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Oh, it's great.
Women need to own that. I mean, the idea, like the fraud of America. The fraud of America.
The fraud of America.
Is that everyone...
The fraud of America.
It is the fraud of America is that the internet happened. We're all jerking off all over ourselves and acting like the idea of people having sex is so offensive. The idea of someone sexting someone is so offensive. Mm-hmm. People are writing those comments on Facebook as they just finished masturbating. Or they're about to go masturbate. I mean, remember this. When you're reading a Facebook comment thread or a tweet, it's being written by someone who is either A, before or after masturbation, or taking a dump.
Mm-hmm.
That is when philosophy in America takes place. Social networking happens online. You are online socially during those things.
That's right. And you know what? That's the argument for Anthony Weiner.
Yeah.
Is that, like, isn't everybody doing something?
Of course.
You know, and so is what he's doing that bad?
No. I don't think so. I think it's terrible that we still judge politicians on their like sexual exploit. As long as it doesn't impact the office and they don't use funding from the office to pay for a vagina, then they should go ahead about it.
There you go.
That's right. As long as the vagina's free.
The vagina been gotten in your own free time on your own earned money.
No taxes on a snatch.
There you go. No taxes on a snatch.
I'm Barack Obama and I approve this match.
Love it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the five biggest news stories of the day. The State of the Union, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
In the fraud of America.
I love that. The fraud of America.
Former President Bill Clinton heading back to the White House just for a day. Clinton and Oprah Winfrey will be among 16 people that Obama will venerate later this year with the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Mm.
The White House announced Thursday. So you know what that tells me, by the way?
What?
Barry's probably slipping in the polls a little bit.
Yeah.
Somebody's questioning his judgment. It's good to get seen with Clinton and Fortify.
And Oprah.
And Oprah, of course. These are the key decision makers that shape policy in this country.
These are the people who run the country.
Let's be clear. Bill Clinton is the president of the United States right now.
That's a power couple. Clinton and Oprah?
That's serious.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine that?
Yes. The two of them are blacker than Obama and Michelle put together.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
But it is, you know, these awards go out usually to people with like either a huge project coming out, or B, they can help the president by association. Everything's calculated and strategic on that level. And he probably needs the bump, because I'm reading this great book by Nancy Gibbs and Michael Duffy called The President's Club, and it's all about how whenever the current president thinks he's in a little bit of a bind, he takes a photo with an ex-president to make it look like, don't worry, we're all working on this.
Yeah.
It's not just me. Remember this other guy whose judgment you trusted? Well, he's helping.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to create the perception that we're all in this together. And that's exactly what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, guys. I got Slick Willie and Oprah in on the deal.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Edward Snowden. All right, Benghazi. Oprah's over the house. We're going to figure this shit out.
Yeah.
Stedman will be here shortly. We're going to work out this NSA thing in a jiff. You know? That's what's going on. So good. Congrats to them. Woo. Here's the one I wanted to get into. This is really crazy. Manhattan Supreme Court Justice. The woman's name is Eileen Rackauer. She tosses out a lawsuit. It was brought by the parents of a couple of children who were photographed by a peeping Tom. The guy calls himself a Tribeca artist.
Uh-huh.
But basically what he did is he photographed these kids through their apartment windows as part of a controversial exhibition.
The kids didn't know?
Did not know.
Oh.
They were not knowingly participating. I'm going to read right through the article. Just to give everyone listening a context.
Okay.
It says basically what happened is a friend of the plaintiff's said yesterday, what are the implications here for parents? You can just have people shooting your kids in their bedrooms and nothing can be done about it. You can't just hide behind the word art to behave poorly. But the judge ruled that because he was in his own residence across the street, Arne Svensson photographed his Greenwich Street neighbors for a show entitled The Neighbors. Because he was in his own house, he wasn't violating their privacy laws.
Uh-huh. Yeah, anything you can see from your window is fair game.
Making use of their floor-to-ceiling windows, he captured his clueless subjects engaged in a host of mundane activities, from cleaning the floor to playing with their kids. But controversy erupted after his models learned that they were being photographed without their knowledge and that the images were being exhibited and sold for $10,000 each. So, I mean, the law is the law. There are a lot of intricacies you can probably hide behind that shields this guy. But I think we can all agree that there's a morality problem here, no?
Absolutely.
Kill this guy. As a parent.
Technically, what you can do from your window anything you can see from your window is fair game. It really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, and anything you're allowing to be seen from your window is fair game.
Yeah, shut your window.
But should you be doing that?
No. That's the main issue is get some damn curtains.
I want to say this,
and I don't like to put, white people love not having curtains in their window. I don't know what it is. I don't know why you want to share everybody what you eat when you watch a TV, but you don't get curtains, no blinds, nothing. Nothing. Just bare body in front of the glass.
My wife has soul because she has curtains.
Good, but you also like in the boondocks, so you don't want like deer looking at you. You don't want to be judged by nature animals.
This deer.
We don't live in
a deer photographing your your
wife. But like if you live on Park Avenue, there's no reason why you have floor-to-ceiling windows and no coverage.
No, it's true. But they deserve better, but it's true. It says Svensson likened himself to a bird watcher.
Okay, this guy should stop talking.
Yeah,
just kill this take guy. The judgment and shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think he should photograph kids. I think all kids should be taken out of the exhibit. But yeah, if there was adults and there no one's naked, I think I can understand it. I don't agree, but
it's still weird because think of it this way: if I were to shoot you in a movie, in the background of my movie, I'm filming a movie called The Dean Imperial Story. You're in the background. Mm-hmm. We have to get a release from you to use you in the movie.
Of course.
If your face is seen, yeah.
Yeah, how is this guy able to show people's kids and not need that same release if he's commercially selling the photos?
Yeah.
And it says that the judge ruled on Monday that his artistic freedom superseded their privacy concerns and dismissed the case. He said the value of artistic expression outweighs any sale that stems from the published photos. Further, since art is protected by the First Amendment, any advertising that is undertaken in connection with promoting that art is permitted. So he's saying First Amendment freedom. That's not speech, though. Mm-hmm. Like, people have taken a spin on the First Amendment.
Yeah.
It's a very liberal interpretation of the First Amendment. Unknowingly photographing someone else's kids and selling the pictures.
Is freedom of speech.
Yeah, beyond dirt baggery kill that guy. The judge should be disbarred. That should be that should be overturned. That's disgusting.
I don't think this
disgusting.
Is the last we hear of this. This is going to keep going because it's a little absurd.
Yeah. While it makes the plaintiffs cringe to think that their private lives and images of their small children can find their way into the public forum of an art exhibition, there is no redress under the current laws of the state of New York. So they're saying, the judge is saying, don't blame me, blame the law. You can interpret that law any way you want. The law, that law, the First Amendment, as specifically written, is not the reason this got thrown out. It's because this judge found a creative way to interpret that law. Uh-huh. This is not the First Amendment. This is about a jerk-off judge.
I agree with that.
It's done with this one. Don't get upset. It's a lighthearted show. We're talking about Chloe Hilliard banging half a Guam. And now I got to get on to the food. You know what I mean? I got to get mad at this guy. What a jerk. Amanda Bynes, she had a forced psychiatric hospitalization. It's set to expire tonight. But her parents are hoping the doctors will keep her. They want her to stay for like 30 more days because they're staying. She's not really improving and that she's still delusional.
Uh-oh.
Now, this is an interesting story to me because I thought Amanda Bynes was going through the Britney Spears thing, which is kind of like the Justin Bieber thing. In that, I thought they were acting crazy to like shed the old image and condition their audience to get ready for some adult content.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently she might really be crazy. They're medicating. Do you think she's crazy? Do you think it's calculated?
Hell yeah.
She is actually crazy? Okay.
Yeah, she is Looney Tunes.
Okay, because it says...
And so is Britney Spears. You ever notice ever since she had that meltdown, nobody really lets Britney Spears talk about anything ever. Like she
That's just how white folks will do you.
No, you're right.
She has a handler. Her dad is in charge of her business. She doesn't speak for herself. No, they're crazy.
Well, her parents are saying 30 more days that, yes, they're crazy. She her parents it. Agree with you. Yeah. They said she's not improving. She's still delusional. She's not physically combative. But the doctors weren't forcing her to take her meds in the beginning. So they're saying if she had more time in her meds, she might be better now. That's interesting. She's at the Hillmont Psychiatric Center. I don't know, Dean.
What did she do to get in there?
She's been running around on Twitter, cursing out everybody, calling people ugly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Pictures
I saw
of
that.
Us in a weird wig, showing herself topless.
She threw something out of a window. She had an interaction with a woman in the driveway. Like, she's out there.
Yeah,
okay.
But this is around the age when people realize that they're schizophrenic, though. Like, 19 and up is, like, when you really start, like, having episodes. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? It's been a while since a famous person has become schizophrenic.
Yeah.
In fact, I can't even remember it ever happening.
Well, I'll tell you.
But like, that could be – that's a very – well, I think it's on the money.
Well, she was in the clear until authorities found 4 downloaded episodes of this program. All right, we got to put this bitch away.
That's great.
We got to go to break. Still to come on the show, fascinating report on the wealthiest entertainers in the world. We'll tell you why they're the wealthiest. We're also going to tell you about a lost Orson Welles flick that was languishing in an Italian warehouse. It's an interesting story we'll get into. And some more, tit for tat with Chloe Hilliard, a woman that I'm starting to question my judgment on and inviting to Mansfield, Pennsylvania. But we'll get back to that in a little bit. You can redeem yourself in the next break.
With Jimmy Fallon.
He's doing stuff that I've never seen before.
Are you being audited by the IRS? Do you owe the IRS more than $15,000? Have you not filed your tax returns in years? Has the IRS recently contacted you at your home or place of business? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you need to know that you are completely and utterly screwed.
Coming to you live from New York City, it's the Off the Meter radio program. Jimmy Fallon, Dean Imperial, joined in studio for the full hour by Chloe Hilliard. Does it get any better than that, folks? I don't think it does.
No way.
I'm happy to have these guys around. It's always a fun day to have the two of you on the show. I say that as a man who's never had the two of you on the show. Woo! We've been doing a promotion on the show, ladies and gentlemen, because I have a book coming out. It's called Follow That Car. It's about the time I spent driving a cab in New York City. It is a book of advice people gave me while I was driving a cab in New York City. And I'm going to go on record as saying if anyone follows this advice, we're getting sued. But having put it out there, if you order a copy of my book online, if you pre-order the book, and tweet us or message us a copy of your paid receipt, you will be entered to win a grand prize, one of five all-expense-paid trips to come see me do stand-up comedy. You will also be entered in a weekly raffle to win an off-the-meter prize pack, which is not like a mind-blowing thing. It's like promotional gear and stuff like that. I don't want you to think...
Oh, like what, a T-shirt?
No, it's nothing. It's just like posters and book info and, you know, stuff like that. But it's all right.
That's cool.
Some people have gotten them and written me interesting letters. Chris Burdick, by the way, is the coolest guy listening to the show. He's on vacation. He said he was drinking scotch in my honor. I appreciate it. A guy says something like that.
Sure, that's great.
I appreciate something like that. This week, and this is an interesting week, two people who sent receipts, one, they're off the meter prize pack, which will be mailed to them. I'm about to read your names on the air. You need to message me your address, okay? If you're listening to this right now, drum roll, please. Mail me your address so I can send you the prize pack, because I'm going away next week. So if I don't get it by, like, Saturday, you're getting this thing, like, after the book comes out. You're getting it in, like, November, because the post office might close. Can we all be clear about that?
Sure.
The day, they're like, we're going to get rid of these guys. We're bringing back the horses.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Gary Schwartz. Gary Schwartz, congratulations to you. You have won an off-the-meter prize pack. I don't know where you're from, Gary. You didn't have an address in anything that you sent me. But congratulations. That's cool, right?
Yeah.
Is that not cool? I think
that's great, Gary. Congratulations.
There's like 10 Gary Schwartz that...
No. It's a guy who emailed me. He'll know.
Oh.
Because he sent the receipt. You get it?
I get it.
Jill Valente. Where you at, girl? Step up to the plate. Send me an email. Jimmy@offthemeterradio.com. You can also message me directly via Twitter. I don't know which way you guys contacted me. I think you're both Twitters. But congrats, you won. You made money. We didn't make money. I should take that all the way back.
Money.
You did not make money unless you reuse the stamp. You did not make money. But you got some goods coming here. So send me an email message so I know where to send it. We're breaking down the five biggest news stories of the day over here. And this next one, an interesting one, Dean Imperial, as Aretha Franklin closes out her set. Simon Cowell and Howard Stern apparently have more in common than expressing how they truly feel about things. According to Forbes, which just released its list of the highest-paid TV personalities, each of them pulled in the most money between June 2012 and June 2013. In fact, Cowell and Stern tied for the top spot, both with estimated earnings of $95 million.
Just for the year.
That's TV. So what is that for Howard Stern? Is that for Howard TV and America's Got Talent?
Probably the whole thing.
Good God.
That's just this year.
This year.
On top of whatever else they have.
Why are we doing a podcast?
I don't know.
Why are we not like trying
because
to get on TV?
Because everybody doesn't have the face for TV, Jimmy.
Oh, whoa. Oh, my God.
You can't hit on me for two breaks.
Oh, my God.
And then turn around and make that move.
No, she's trying to break you down. Yeah, I know what she's doing. She's breaking you down.
She built me up, broke me down.
I know.
Does anyone in your family have a military background?
Nope.
There's some hustle going on
here.
There's
no military background. I have teachers in my family.
Mm-hmm.
That's not it.
You're trying to break me down.
No, I'm here to
say you're a bald-faced liar. A fucking liar.
Nobody's buying it, Chloe Hilliard. Simon Cowell, Howard Stern, super rich. Simon Cowell, hey, good news. That'll help support the new baby.
Yeah, he can peel off a few bills.
Give it to your old ex-best friends.
Yeah.
That's so shady. Isn't that like a part of man code?
We had this fight yesterday. Not even a fight, but we had this discussion. Uh-huh. The New York Post put out a poll wanting to know who the biggest schmuck was this summer. And it was Anthony Weiner, A-Rod, Elliot Spitzer, or Simon Cowell. If you technically break it down on the merits, it's Simon Cowell in a landslide.
It is.
Anthony Weiner sexted. Get over it. Okay? I mean, whatever. You might have disagreements with honesty and stuff like that and being forthright. Fine. But there was no victim. Alex Rodriguez doing steroids. His credibility is the victim. The baseball fan, boo-hoo, mm-hmm. The victim. Elliot Spitzer, probably the second worst guy because he paid for sex and insulted every hooker in D.C. Because we all know that's the one place you shouldn't bring a hooker.
Yeah. Right.
They're the best hookers in the world.
Yep.
You don't go to Vegas and bring your own blackjack table.
Nope.
Just the same as you shouldn't do that in D.C. But Simon Cowell banged his best friend's girlfriend and got her pregnant. That is a physical crime.
And not only that, they had pictures of them kissing on the same boat that the husband
that the
was
guy
on.
Like is
the
on.
Friend, all three of them were on a boat and
just
they were
bags.
Stealing kisses.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm saying. These people are just dirtbags. And it's like when it gets to that point.
But you know what? No one cares about him being a dirtbag because he has so much money. When you have a lot of money, you're allowed to be a dumbass.
That's exactly what it is. So they won. Keep knocking up your girlfriend's friends.
But I want somebody to break down that $95 million into like actual TV time. Like, you know, when they take like what is it per minute that he's on TV?
I had a friend who was on America's Got Talent.
Uh-oh.
And I can tell you how much time Howard puts in.
Yeah.
No, they do. It's weird. They do put in the time because like when they judge acts and stuff like that, obviously they have to judge a lot more than they can show on TV. Mm-hmm. And then they do like a lot of deliberations. And then there was a lot of like shooting things that are like interstitials and stuff that'll air down the road. It's a 30-day commitment, America's Got Talent. That's what they tell him. He's going to work 30 days. And I would venture to say that those 30 days are like 12-hour days. Mm. So if he made $15 million off America's Got Talent and worked 12 30-hour days, what's he making?
I have no idea.
$500,000 an hour? Does that make sense?
I guess.
I'm the one with the community college degree. Don't look at me. I don't want anybody looking
at me. I don't know.
I'm terrible at math.
Somebody at home is adding this up.
There's a part of me that just doesn't want to. I don't want to figure it out.
It is
I'm like,
emotionally debilitating.
Yeah.
Congrats to Howard, though. Way to go, man. He was cool to me.
He's all right.
He was great to me. I mean, Dean Imperial was on the Howard Stern show for a while. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. He was very cool. He was very cool, welcoming, would talk to me. Yeah, he was a good guy.
Cool judge because he was like the only guy I found to say anything constructive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the other judges would watch you do stand-up and be like, you know, like, your hair moved a lot. Like, wait,
wow.
What are you talking? They didn't really say that, but I'm saying
it
was like.
His name is on it. He's a comedian,
who, Howie?
Too. Yeah.
Howie Mandel.
Howard Stern is an actual comedian posing as a radio host, even though he doesn't do stand-up. He is a comedian.
Yeah.
With timing, with tact, he's perceptive. He's insightful. He is a comedian. That's why his feedback is so good, because comedians, to write comedy, have to notice society from angles other people aren't seeing it. Howie Mandel isn't really doing that. He was just like zany and goofy. At a time, it was cool to be zany and goofy and apologetic for your masculinity. Not that he has any, but you know what I mean? He's an order taker. He's not a bad guy. He wasn't bad to me.
No.
But he's such a bad actor on the show. He could be like, that was amazing. I loved it. America loved it. And you're going to Las Vegas. All right, cut. We got to reshoot that. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Shows no, you know, that's the show. Howard, in one take, looks at you, breaks it down, speaks constructively, extemporaneously, makes sense, and actually gives you an angle on your performance that you weren't thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wow, thanks for that.
So you're saying he's worth that $95 million?
Listen, if anybody is, he actually is worth every one of those pennies. Every one of those pennies. The rest of them, I mean, fine. You know, Heidi Klum, Mel B, shouldn't be judging talent or comedy. Lisa Lampanelli had the best line in the world about that. Thanks. Shout out to her. I'm opening for her this weekend. She said, I saw a commercial for the show. She said this on Howard Stern's show. She goes, I saw a commercial for the show. I saw Mel B. I said, what is she, a contestant? What is she doing on the show? And it's true. Like, what is she doing on the show? You know, and that's fine. Whatever. Nice people. Move on. But yeah, Howard, as people go, he is doing something in entertainment that very few people are doing, which is having real conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because it's really not, entertainment is not about real conversation anymore. It's about finding a niche that you can strategically market every word out of your mouth towards and then sell them everything under the sun. And I should remind you to buy my new book, Follow the Car. But I'm kidding. But, I mean, we clearly don't do that. We're kind of like free-range chicken on this show. We're all over the map.
We are.
You know, and, you know, Howard is, when you listen to, like, the interviews, it's like what you and I said we're going to do on a road trip, which is, like, break each other down.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going on everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of depth out there on the radio right now. It's very, you know, they've established a template, and you fit into that template, color between the lines, keep it moving, get on the next guest, do the live read. He's actually like a frontiersman still.
Right.
Because he's doing something very few people are doing. So, no, listen, man, he could hate me because I had a fight with America's Got Talent. I don't know how he feels about me. But I do feel that way about
I think
about
he's
him.
Thinking about you a lot, actually.
He's like, hold on, Beth. Yeah. I'm not in the mood right now.
Yeah.
I'm not in the mood. Remember that cab driver we booted unceremoniously? He's on my mind. You know that guy, the 36-year-old without the health insurance? Yeah, he's. I've been thinking about him in his little book. I want to get him in here. One more. Italian archivists found a never-before-seen, long-lost Orson Welles flick. That had been languishing in a warehouse for decades, film historians announced yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Orson Welles made a slapstick comedy in 1938 called Too Much Johnson.
Too Much Johnson. Yeah, I've read about
it. It's a movie about Chloe in her 20s.
Right.
Hey-o.
Oh, man.
It was supposed to be shown as a prologue to a Connecticut stage production of William Gillette's 19th century farce of the same name. It says it was a 35mm silent film. It was found in a warehouse in Pordenone, Italy.
Oh, yeah. You know, I know about this. I think I've actually – there are clips of this somewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it says rumors have swirled for decades about why it never screened. It says a score was written. I'm going to keep reading. He never got around to drawing up captions for the flick. It says there's a lot of myths going around. One of them is the theater didn't have the space to do it. Another is that the actors didn't think they were paid enough. Says the long lost work is considered an important artifact because Too Much Johnson was done 2 years before Welles came to Hollywood and made Citizen Kane.
Right.
So they don't address what you said, but you're basically saying that you think there were copies out there, maybe?
Well, yeah, well, he did it with the Mercury Theater cast, the cast that did War of the Worlds. Yeah, so he used all those actors who ended up being in Citizen Kane as well.
Wow.
But, I've heard about this, but, I mean, I guess they'll be able to release that and get some people to see it.
I'm down for a slapstick comedy.
Yeah, sure.
Orson Welleser.
Yeah. Funny those 1938 comedies are.
Oh, my gosh. Hysterical.
Oh, my God.
What if it's terrible? Then it'll just tarnish his legacy.
Oh, he doesn't care. No, but he's dead.
But there is a reason it's unreleased.
Yeah.
Remember this. When you go buy the lost Elvis tracks, there was a reason they got lost.
I have a feeling it's not, like, it's silent, but it was 1938.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They were well past silent films.
Yes.
I think it's something that I've seen a clip from that they didn't have the entire film and they found the rest of the film.
Okay.
Because it's not all that it's cracked up to be. It's actually a pretty low budget looking.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Wow.
It's not going to be a big deal. There's a few unfinished Orson Welles films, like, around that people are looking at. And you know what they do? They don't tarnish reputation. They look at it, and if it's not worth anything, they just forget about it.
Good. If you're going to watch any unreleased Orson Welles or semi-released Orson Welles, see those drunk interviews that are on YouTube.
They're amazing. Oh, my God. They're the funniest thing in the world.
We could only dream of having 5 minutes on this show as entertaining as Orson Welles drunk on
YouTube. You should do a drunk episode.
I did
of
one.
Show.
You know what? You just brought me to a nice segue. This, of course, the last thing we're taping and airing. Because I'm leaving town Saturday night when I get done with Lisa Lampanelli.
Uh-huh.
I'll be in Ohio visiting the good half of my family, hanging out with my kid, getting some book production done, getting some show production done. Next week, the week of August the 12th, I will be airing 5 interviews that I conducted with various subjects around the city that I find fascinating. Some of them are authors. Some of them are homeless. One of them is the executive editor of Maxim magazine.
He's the one who's homeless.
Nick Leffley. Nick Leffley and I, because we didn't want to do it in a straight off-the-meter forum where we tape from 4:30 to 5:30 live. We wanted to do it at a different hour where we didn't do news, we didn't do breaks, and we actually just hung out. So Nick Leffley, executive editor of Maxim magazine, British guy, drunk. Nick Leffley.
He's a Brit.
Yeah, no. Nick Leffley makes the film Leaving Las Vegas look like an exercise in restraint. It's wow, that Nicolas Cage guy had it together.
It makes it look like Too Much Johnson.
You have. And we drank a pair of 12 packs.
What?
And conducted an hour interview before I went over and did comedy.
Before a show?
Which I don't drink before I do comedy ever, but in his honor, that was his request. I said to everybody, I'm going to interview for an hour. You know, at an unconventional hour, what do you want? Do you want to eat while we do this? Do you want to watch something? Do you want to listen to particular music?
How come I wasn't invited? Because I'm supposed to be your favorite person in the whole wide world.
Because you're on the show today. Do you dig? These are like standalone evergreen
you
things.
You dig?
Yeah, why'd you have to throw in you dig in there?
Yeah, you dig.
We think I got street with you?
I think you got a little hood. Because
she's a G.
Because I'm a G.
She's a G.
I'm a G.
Folks. Log on to Off the Meter. Go to Podomatic. Go to iTunes. You'll see them in my Facebook thread. They are 5. Honestly, I had a lot of fun doing these interviews because they were done at off hours. Some of them were on drugs, but they were good people.
Off the meter.
One guy's written 28 erotic novels. Just interesting.
Wow.
And he revealed something very fascinating. Mike Edison was telling me that when you're reading a point of view novel, an erotic novel by a woman, where she's talking about, like, he ravaged me, grabbed my breath. That's always written by a man. Every time.
Yep.
He said it's like 99.5% of erotic novelists are men writing POV on behalf of women because they know what you want to hear. But there's more than that in this article. It's not, you know, in this interview, it's more than just that. We've got a couple of best-selling. Well, it's going to be a fun week. There'll be comics. There'll be people like that. Dean Imperial might make an appearance. And we have a rescheduled Carl Gottlieb interview. Carl Gottlieb, of course, the writer of Jaws and The Jerk.
I love The Jerk.
Celebrated one of my all-time favorite
Jerk's
movies.
One of the best ever, right?
As celebrated a film as there is in Hollywood. I mean, it's a great film, The Jerk. It couldn't be celebrated enough. He'll be on the show. So it's an interesting week. And in doing it, I want you, the listener, to know, like, this is the way the show works, and the reason it's popular with some of you, with people out there, really, though, is because we actually do give a shit about you. We don't have as much ambition as we do joy for the cause. Like, we just like hanging out with everybody. Like, all of you that email me and tweet me and text me, and it's not a billion of you, but it's a good amount of you. We just like doing it, man. And, like, next week, we don't want you to hear five episodes that we consider best of. Because I don't have anything I'm comfortable putting my name behind and saying it's best of. But I don't want to be that guy. Oh, we did so good on July 5th. Hey, maybe that's for you to decide. But, you know, that it is what it is. I'm just happy to have you as an audience.
It's very modest.
And I want you to know I'll be thinking of all of you next week while I'm out in Ohio hanging out with Jenny's family and going to the Delphus Creamery. You know what goes on in the Delphus Creamery, boys and girls? They have a creamery where you're literally eating ice cream made from milk that a cow gave that day. Like, it's super fresh.
10 feet away.
10 feet away. They don't quite let you milk the cow.
You can actually go up and compliment the cow.
Yeah, like, listen, I love what you did with the rainbow sherbet. I just want to say these moose tracks are fantastic. I'm starting.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
You're New so York. Dumb.
You?
You are really dumb. For real.
The first thing I'm going to get is the butter pecan. So if you're a fan of the 235-pound Jimmy Fallon...
Oh, wait, I was about to say that.
Keep playing this episode over and over and over again, because the next time you hear me live...
Oh, my gosh.
It's going to be like a 252-pound Jimmy Fallon.
You're going to sound like Biggie Smalls.
I was about to freestyle, because I could, but I won't.
Can we start working out when you come back?
You and me?
Yeah.
This is a weird thing about me.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm almost in shape right now because I was trying to ditch the author body, and I do a prison workout. Pull-ups, dips, like real raw dad stuff. If I manage to not throw it all away in Ohio, I will be in shape Labor Day weekend at the barbecue you're coming to at my house.
Okay.
If you so choose to go. You're invited.
Coming.
You're on the guest list.
I'm coming.
Jenny Fale has formally announced a barbecue, and I want to say
this. She invited me? She knows I'm coming?
Jenny loves you, man. Okay, to fans of Off the Meter. That have any desire to attend this barbecue.
Are you serious?
If you message me, if you guys want to go, message me. I'm going to vet you. I'll be honest with
God.
You're going to be shirtless. You're going to be shirtless cooking on the grill. That's how in shape you're going to be. Not like tank top instead of t-shirt.
September 2nd? I got to tell you, what's today's date?
Oh, my God.
It actually could be done.
This could be,
swim.
If you're going to invite all of the listeners, this could be bigger than Mansfield.
Now, people are, you know, there are geographic restrictions. Guys like Ron Purcell. They live in Australia. Oh. You know, Chris Burdick's in Troy, New York. He could show up. You know what I mean? Jennifer Russo.
I think you should get.
She's a Levittown girl.
You should be shirtless by the time your book comes out.
Oh my! By my book, I promise you this.
Yeah.
I will be really
ripped.
Put together. I'm not going to be walking around with like muscles. Like, hey, look at my muscles. But I take the very rare opportunity for a guy of my diminished talents to have national exposure. I take it seriously because it's probably the only time a guy like me is going to get it. Oh, I'm on a book.
Do it.
I'm on a machine. I would work out with you. That'd be cool. We'll go to the gym in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
See, skip the casino.
How long are we there for?
A day.
And we come back that night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I got to. Shut up. The show's over, everybody. A special thank you to Chloe Hilliard. Dean Imperial, of course, holding it down for 5 consecutive days this week and making it look easy, might I say.
Oh, thanks.
Very stylish. Really. I wish you could see him. It's white jacket. He's stunting on
his
toes.
Stunting on the hose.
On these hoes. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Listen,
that just
folks,
made my life.
You have no idea how horny she is. She's out of her mind. She usually like flashes Ken twice an episode. She hits on me.
Oh, man.
Because I asked her one day on the show if there's anything she doesn't do in bed anymore. I said, well, you know, you've hit your age. Is there anything you don't do in bed? She said no, because she doesn't have a boyfriend yet.
Oh,
so basically,
man.
She's still campaigning. You know how when you know the campaign's different than having. Yeah. But I respect it because you're telling them out there that it's fool's gold, because once you get an office, you're going to reverse your platform.
That's right. shut it down.
Right. You're not supposed to go on record as saying that. You're hurting your cause.
Right, right.
You're too honest for politics, Chloe Hilliard. But you fit in great around here.
Yes.
The show's over, everybody. Thanks for listening. This is the best we can do.
I enjoyed it. It was an unbelievably interesting experience.